I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage. Central Floridians saw quite the light show last night. More than 3,000 lightning strikes were recorded across the region as a massive thunderstorm plowed through, giving a brief respite to that sweltering heat. Our region seems to have been experiencing accelerated lightning activity recently. On Sunday, a lightning strike in Windermere set an apartment building ablaze, damaging 20 units and displacing a number of residents. Five Orlando residents and their cats, homeless, after another lightning strike burned down their Razorback Court home. Other strikes this past weekend injured a sheriff's deputy in Seminole County and a lifeguard in Fallujah. So are we actually witnessing more lightning than usual, or is it just striking in unfortunate locations? Joining us to answer these questions, Megan Borowski, senior meteorologist with the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. This was just really like the talk of the newsroom, just all this lightning we saw around here in Central Florida last night. So can you just talk to me? Are we actually witnessing more lightning than usual? Why are we seeing so much of it as of late?
My home base here is in eastern Hillsborough County, and I've noticed a lot more lightning strikes in some of these storms, and just on social media too. I saw a lot of stuff coming out of the Disney World area, like lots of lightning. So my guess is, yes, some of these storms are producing frequent lightning strikes. Whether or not it's like record lightning, I can't speak to that. But what I can say is, you know, there are some factors that can play into storms producing excessive amounts of lightning. One of them would be elevated instability levels, and that can be driven by very hot surface temperatures, or if we have, you know, very humid air mass toward the surface of the earth. I would say, you know, because it's been so hot, we have elevated instability, and what that does is that really helps to get the thunderstorm developing in the vertical. And so the deeper the cloud is in the atmosphere, so the higher the altitude the cloud, the better chance that we have at getting frozen particles. And it's those ice crystals that help that lightning to develop. So just, you know, over the past couple of days, we've had elevated instability, and that has been the trend over the past couple of weeks. Again, not every storm is producing all of these, you know, excessive lightning strikes, but it certainly has been the trend for the end of June into the beginning of July. The other thing that might be starting to influence some of these storms is the Saharan dust. Now, as a whole, the Saharan dust actually introduces a dry air pocket into our area, right? And so overall, that can suppress the total number of storms. But if we have enough instability, if we have enough moisture still lingering around, those storms that do develop can actually be enhanced by the Saharan dust in terms of lightning production. The dry air can help get the cloud actually charged a little bit more, and we can see more lightning strikes. Still lots of research out on it, on lightning itself and the role of the Saharan dust in those lightning strikes. But some of the papers that I've parsed through actually show that dust can increase the number of strikes we get.
Megan, is there a difference between heat lightning and the lightning that we see during a thunderstorm?
No, that's a very good question. So technically, there is no such thing as heat lightning. It's not like it's so hot that all of a sudden we're just getting lightning strikes. What you'll see, though, is, you know, the thing that everybody calls heat lightning, myself included, is actually the light being emitted from a thunderstorm very far away from you. So you can actually see the lightning strikes, but it just seems like a dull flash. And that's from storms that are at a far distance away from you.
How do you know if it's close enough that you are in danger?
That's another good question. It's scary. I'm scared of it too. I like to spend time outside when I'm not, you know, in front of the microphone and doing meteorology. As a general rule, if you can hear a rumble of thunder, you are close enough to be getting struck by lightning. It has nothing to do with if it's raining over your area or not. That's a common misconception. I've fallen into that thought process as well. Oh, it's not raining, I'm fine. Not true. Lightning can strike miles away from the core of the storm. It can strike miles away from where it's raining. In fact, I was looking at radar yesterday when I wanted to go out in the evening to walk my dog. And I saw, you know, on the little app that I use, Florida Storms app, I saw there was a bolt and it was miles away from any of the shading on actual radar. So any of that rain itself. So general rule is if you can hear any rumblings of thunder, You're close enough to get struck by lightning. Best bet is to head inside and you wait 30 minutes from that last strike or that last rumble until you head outside again.
Megan, a lot of people who were talking about this lightning and all of it, they were in the car when it happened driving. What do you do then?
Well, I mean, they say the car is the safest place to be during a thunderstorm. You know, as long as your windows are rolled up, the shell of the car body will actually drive the electrical charge down to the ground. It can be scary. The scariest part in that situation would be if you are caught in a very heavy downpour, because then that, you know, of course, the road is slippery, there's ponding on the roads, and a lot of times visibility is severely reduced. So my suggestion there would be slow down. If you're on the interstate, I generally will put my four-way flashers on so people can see where I am and have a marker of how far they are from me. But if you don't have to be on the roads, or if you can safely pull off the road into a parking lot and just stay put in your car until the storm, you know, lets up a little bit in terms of rainfall, do that. But you're safe. If your windows are rolled up in your car, you're safe from lightning strikes.
Megan, I have to ask you about something else that people are talking about. Central Floridians reported seeing an extremely strange and unique cloud formation this morning. What in the world is a jellyfish cloud?
Oh, that must be tied to SpaceX. There was a rocket launch, and usually that is caused by, you know, if the launch is at a high altitude in the sky, the rocket exhaust kind of expands in the upper levels of the atmosphere, and then the sun starts to rise and you get all of that, you know, the expanding gases and the exhaust plus the angle of the sun as it's rising. All of that combines to create like a alien like cloud formation in the sky. I'm almost 100% sure it must be tied to a launch this morning. It is cool to see those clouds, but when you're driving to work and you didn't know there was a launch and you see that, it's like, you know, War of the Worlds being read on the radio and you don't know that it's a book being read. It is scary, but it's also cool when you know tied to a launch.
Megan Borowski is a senior meteorologist with the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network. Thank you, as always, for joining us, Megan.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.